They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I am joined today by one of my favorite guests, Dr. Gary Solomon. Thank you so much, Gary, for joining us.
Me on the show.
Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. What you're doing is just absolutely incredible and amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Keeps me going.
I want to give your URL of the newest book. I keep telling everyone, go check it out. You will be amazed at what you see over there. The most creative book ever. How can people read it?
Simply go to HOA Crisis in America. And once you click it on, the book automatically opens. And it will play to you as an audio file. It plays to you as a visual file. That is, you can watch it. Or you can print the book, whichever you choose. But the goal here was to make sure that there were no barriers between the information in the book and the listener and the learner. So I believe I've taken care of all of that.
What's interesting and what I love about the book is that I read it and my blood boils. I get really upset. I get really mad. I'm sitting there absolutely fascinated, but I sit there and I laugh as well because you have so many funny little vignettes in there that sort of break up the tension.
Yes. So
it's an incredible book.
Well, thank you very much. And again, I want to emphasize to everybody, it's free. I wanted to make sure that there was nothing that would get in the way of the dissemination of the material. So I made sure it was free.
And keep going back to it because you won't absorb everything at once. Keep going back, watch it, listen to it, read it, watch it again, laugh, because that's a great stress reliever, isn't it?
It is. I think it is.
And
it also is a validator. All those people that are out there that don't have any place to turn, feel that they're going through this alone, it validates. What you're going to. You're not alone.
No, you're not. You wrote an op-ed just recently, and you talk a little bit about what things that we have talked about on previous shows, so I'm not going to go through all of that again. But one of the things that you talk about is what to do if you feel you're under stress, who to go to, what to do, not to feel embarrassed, not to be afraid. Can you talk a little bit about that, Gary, please?
Sure. The goal is that the individuals, all of the people out there, currently don't have any place to go. As a psychotherapist, I'm doing everything I can to train people on how to treat problems associated with HOA syndrome, a constellation of signs and symptoms that come about as a result of longitudinal harassment in homeowners associations. But now the question is, where do you go? Well, I will tell you, I have actually reopened my practice, and now I see people that are dealing with HOA-related problems. I have phone conferences. I have as much help as I can possibly give. I've also joined a group of people as an HOA witness, expert witness for the homeowner. But where does the homeowner go to get help? And here are some thoughts for you. Number one, if you have insurance, I strongly recommend you call your portion of your insurance that offers counseling and mental health care. When going in to meet with a mental health care counselor, because they're not probably going to be aware of this condition, it hasn't made its way through the academic community completely, it's important to refer to it as its origin, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. And this one most people know. People are under enormous stress as a result of their HOA. Well, let's assume for a moment that you don't have insurance and you have no place to go with this. There are community counseling centers that are done on a sliding scale, and these are people to talk to. Also, people who are involved in religious groups. You may be a part of a particular religion. You can ask to speak to one of the counselors. If you are a student at a school, a college, high school, ask to speak to your counselor. But this I would warn all of the listeners and all of the people who are dealing with this. There is a very special technique that comes with dealing with this issue, and that technique is learning to be a good listener. And so if someone says to me, you know, Dr. Solomon, I'm under so much stress because of this letter that came in the mail from my HOA, my response is not, well, what are you doing about it? Did you send them back a letter and this and that? I don't do that. My response is, it sounds like it's put you under a lot of pressure. How are you handling it? The point being, give the person a chance to talk, to let it out. I would warn people, this takes months. This has been going on for years. The condition has taken years and months to come about. It's not going to go away overnight by simply saying, oh, I'm stressed, what do I do? This is a psychiatric condition. This has altered the body chemistry. My argument to the government has been over and over again, this has got to stop because of what it is doing to the physical and psychological well-being of its citizens. But because it's so foreign, like AIDS was, like spousal abuse or wife abuse or any number of new conditions, people don't know what we're talking about. So it's important to be able to know that it's okay to be a listener.
So you just listen, and that helps?
Yes. Just give a person a place to vent, not to hear comments, not to hear what you think or how you feel, but rather only how the other person feels. And then upon occasion, there's time to open up discussion, such as, what is it that you feel that you want to do about that? What direction do you want to take that in? How would you like to go about resolving that? Always put it back on to the person who's talking so they can hear themselves talk their way through the solution. Here's the problem, Shu. If I tell you how to live your life, if I explain what you should do about the problem you've got, and you follow what I tell you and it fails, well, you see it's my fault. If you're the person that comes up with the solution and it fails, well, then it's your fault and we'll need to correct it. But the key is for the individual to take the responsibility for the solution, whether it works or not, to head towards the solution.
That's an excellent point. I keep thinking about some of the people who have contacted me, and usually I tell them where to look and how to start doing their homework to figure out whether or not the association has the authority to do what it's doing. But what happens when you have someone who's been fined without their knowledge? The $10, $50, $100 fine has been added to their account. And for years, it has been gathering interest and legal and ultimately legal fees and all kinds of punitive fees on top of that, late fees, interest. And then the attorney comes along and pushes the button and says, okay, you owe the association $7,000 because you're in arrears. And how do you fix that when every time you try to talk about it, every time you reach out to the attorney, to the association, to everybody, you just run into a brick wall. There's no answer. Nobody will talk to you. They'll tell you it's in litigation. You can't talk. You know, the association won't talk to you. The attorney says, I can't talk to you. You have to get your own attorney. You can't find an attorney because nobody wants to deal with HOAs. That's a serious issue and a serious problem.
Yes, and here is my thought about that. Having studied this now for over 6 years, there is no question that all of these dead ends are by design. That is, all of the doors have been closed to make sure that there can be no help or no resolve for the homeowner. Therefore, what does the homeowner do? Well, people may disagree with what I'm about to say, and that's okay. That's what a lot of this is about. Number one, get out of your association. Leave. Go lead a better quality, higher quality life, number one. Number two, don't buy into a homeowners association. Don't set yourself up to be part of those problems. Number three, and this is one that confuses a lot of people, I'll do my best to explain. If you are an individual who is 62 years or older, it is likely that you own your home. It is also likely that since you own your home, you're a target for the homeowners association to come after you to want to foreclose on your home. That foreclosure is created by creating these fines and fees that ultimately build up to liens and ultimately foreclosure. I strongly recommend putting a reverse mortgage on your property. Why? Because the reverse mortgage is a federal loan. Secondly, it protects the property by having a mortgage on the property. Third, the money that comes from the mortgage goes into your pocket. Fourth, you don't pay anything on the mortgage. Therefore, the money that you get is money in your pocket, and it is a loan against the house. It's a different kind of loan. Now, look, there are complications, primarily emotional. That is, we had all hoped to own our home one day, and this takes away that dream. But at least you're protecting your property from the rampant foreclosures that are going on across the country, people who are literally stealing equity, or what I refer to as equity theft. Next, gather the family together, not husband and wife, but rather the family, the children and the family, who are in many cases grown now. They are adults. They have their own family. But the truth is, these homes are their future inheritance. The families need to get more involved in protecting their assets, with more than one person fighting the battle. One is more likely to get some headway. And this includes writing letters to the state bar. This includes writing letters to the FBI. It includes writing letters to local and state governments. One person cannot do this by themselves. But if the family gets together and starts producing these documents, something is likely to make its way through the labyrinth of mazes created by the HOAs.
Wow. That's some really good advice right there. And that's good for if you're 62 or older.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because, as you point out, you know, you've worked your entire life. You've paid off your house. You think you've bought some security for the future, and you find out that your future is as insecure as it was the day you were born, with absolutely nothing in your pocket.
That's exactly right.
You don't even have a pocket then.
And one of the things I talk about in the book is multi-generational equity theft. If we go back 100 years and look at the generations that worked so hard to produce equity to pass on to the next generation. Now, these homes are in homeowners associations. That equity is at high risk and getting higher every day of being stolen. The years of equity building are being stolen by individuals who simply come in and take it as a result of the laws and the rules created in this private government.
In Fairfax, that's happening by the county government as well,
because in this area, it's an old area, and there are a lot of land deeds that were given to families 200, 300 years ago. And families have saved them and passed them on and sort of subdivided the land and given it to their children and so on. And the county comes along and rezones it and starts charging you taxes based on not what you have, but what you could have under the rezoning and what it could be worth to the county, because you see, they think it's theirs and they think they have a right to it. And so they tax you out of your home. It gets to the point where you cannot afford the property taxes,
mm-hmm.
because you own one house, not 50 houses, which is what they have rezoned it.
Mm-hmm. Look, this is there's no denying, and I can't emphasize this enough to the listener. There's no denying that this is all about money. And there's no denying that the government is running out of money. And there's no denying that the way that the government has decided to get that money is to look for any vehicle to tax, fine, create revenues that will go into the coffers. And, of course, at the root of this is the homeowners association, the individuals in the association paying double taxes. And I've worked lately, Sue, to stop calling them dues. They're not dues. They're taxes.
Yeah.
There's state taxes, and then there's HOA taxes. And the more that we call them what they are, the more we can see things for what they are.
You're right. And you've long advocated that we sort of call things what they are, call a spade, instead of allowing us to call them things like communities as opposed to, you know, war zones?
War zones, ghettos, villages. As I work more in my work, I've worked very hard to try and create a vocabulary that defines what these are. And in the new book that will be coming out, I talk about hyper-stratified communities. And these are communities that are homeowners associations that are ruled by people based on different levels of authority. Now, this is different than any other community. If you go into a non-HOA community, they are not hyper-stratified because there is no other leader. You are the ruler of your property. You live in your property. But now you move into an HOA, and now you're ruled over your neighbor who's on the board, who then decided to hire a management company who now oversees you, and then turns to a collection company who oversees you, who then oversees you by an attorney. These are hyper-stratified communities, and as a result, they're all under enormous amounts of stress.
Is there an end to this?
There is an end to it, I believe. And I believe that the end is going to come when enough violence, enough problems that can make their way to the news will cause the federal government to step in and say, we're stopping this. Look, this all began with the notion that the federal government wasn't going to have to worry about maintaining these communities because the communities were taxing themselves and they would repair themselves. Pretty simple little idea. But now it's gotten out of hand. What is the solution? And I know, Shu, that the solution scares people, but I truly believe it is the best way to go. We have to remove all of the collection companies, all of the management companies, all of the HOA attorneys. We have to turn the communities over to local municipalities to be overseen by the already existing city and local governments who can do the accounting, who can do the drive-by inspection, who have facilities to be able to have the meetings. We can do all of this. We can produce more money into the city, and this way the money won't be stolen or siphoned off into the pockets of the board members because they won't have any access and control of the funds. Now, the other side of that coin is no more government involvement. I grew up with that. So did you.
Yeah.
The problem is that we've let that thought go too far. And this is what we've ended up with. Another government that's worse, that's stealing from us.
The problem, Gary, is that it's the local municipalities that mandate associations, because they're the ones that charge the property taxes. And they're the ones who are double taxing, because they're not double taxing, but they're collecting the taxes and then forcing you to pay the association to cover the costs of the services that the taxes were intended to cover, to pay for.
Correct.
And the federal government will sort of step back and say, hey, wait a minute, this is a local issue, we're not going to get involved. So, but there are things that the federal government can do, I believe, and I think they can ban them outright. I think they can. I mean,
they're going to, more than just a can, they're going to need to. They have to put a stop to this. I don't know that at the beginning they realized how much money was going to go into the pockets of these private wealth management companies. Today, this week coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada, is the CAI convention.
Mm-hmm.
People flying in all over the United States who make their living solely off the parasitic income that comes in from homeowners. Now, if we think it through, and it doesn't take a lot of thinking, the individual goes to work all day to pay their bills, to buy the food, to buy the insurance, to buy the clothing. And now they also go to work every day to pay for the parasites who claim to overview their property, oversee their property for their own better good. Well, didn't I already pay for that once? Didn't I already pay for that once in my taxes? I don't need to do this again, but the government won't put a stop to it because they don't want to call it what it is. It's double taxation. Okay, let's get over it. Let's accept that it is. Let's accept that we need the government. We need the taxation to keep the country going, and let's move on. But let's maximize the use of the money instead of putting money in private wealth management companies.
According to CAI statistics, in 2013, homeowners in associations paid an additional $65 billion, with a B, dollars in assessments. Now, that's what they're copping to. They're saying, you know, this is a $65 billion industry. I bet you anything they're not talking about special assessments. I bet you anything they're not talking about all the theft that goes on. There's so much money that is taken from individuals by managers that we know nothing about. Individuals don't know that they're not supposed to be paying that. You know, people call me with stories, and it's like, how do these people come up with all these ideas of separating the homeowner from their hard-earned cash? But they do it. And
yeah,
it flies way under the radar. Nobody knows about it. So my guess is that that $65 billion is probably just a drop in the bucket of what we're paying.
We're not even including the amount of equity that comes from foreclosing on the house.
No.
And taking that money and putting it into an individual or company's pocket who does nothing now but the business of foreclosing on HOA property. I mean, the numbers are extraordinary, and the fact that the government would turn their back on us, that we, the people, will turn our back on ourselves and let this happen, at least to most people, has to be recognized that we've done this in the past. We've done this when we separated from England. This is the Revolutionary War. We did this in the slave period. We've seen this happen in other countries that are overthrowing and will do anything they can to get the assets of the community, the theft, art, buildings, roads, land, anything. it's happening again. The amazing thing is that with all the background and knowledge that we have in this area, we still let it happen. He who forgets the past is destined to relive it.
It's doomed, yeah. We are talking to Dr. Gary Solomon. He is the author of the ebook. It's available online, called HOA, Crisis in America. Check it out. You will be amazed, fascinated, infuriated, educated, and entertained. I like to add the entertained bit because it is fun. The little clips that you have are wonderful. So much has to do with fear. I mean, nobody can do anything to you without scaring the living daylights out of you. And I think that people are terrified. They're embarrassed, first of all. They're afraid that they've done something horribly wrong, and their kids are going to find out, their families are going to find out, their friends are going to find out, so they don't want to talk about it. They just don't want to talk about it. They want to hide it and make it go away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like a rape victim.
I'm going to underscore your word, embarrassment. Embarrassment is a big driver here.
Okay.
The fact that this has happened embarrasses people. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to say what happened to me. I'm afraid. All of these different things. And so you've got neighbor not talking to neighbor, not talking to neighbor.
Right.
Yet each neighbor, everybody in the community is going through the same thing. Uniting them is very difficult because the homeowners associations do everything they can to keep the people apart.
They do, so they isolate you.
Yes, yes. It's the isolation between member to member. And so when we're all done, I refer to this. Now I'm going to go back to the vocabulary to try to deal with this.
Okay.
The hyperstratification also includes hypersegregation. That is to say, in other neighborhoods where there aren't fences or they're not HOAs, the neighbors aren't segregated from each other. In HOAs, they're hypersegregated from each other because of the hyperstratification. Now, I know the listener says, oh, my God, this is a doctor talking and using all of this language, and I don't understand. I'm inviting people to learn to use the words that describe this for what it is, because when we're communicating, when we're trying to fight this, with everybody telling their separate story, but in essence saying exactly the same thing.
Right.
And you've had this shoe happen over and over again.
Yep.
It's the same story.
Yep.
It's just another neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we can all have the same language, we're talking the same thing. And now with the introduction of some of the new material that I'm bringing to the table on elder abuse in homeowners associations, child abuse by proxy in homeowners associations, the more that I can get the information out and have it disseminated into the vocabulary of the public, the further we can get. We went through this with AIDS. We went through this when we were trying to get people to wash their hands because of something called bacteria. They ran this guy out of the college. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about, bacteria? You can't see bacteria. Well,
guess what?
We've come a long way. We've come a long way.
Yeah.
You and I grew up with the phrase, my kids are giving me ulcers.
Yeah.
And there was a researcher that said, no, that's not true. Ulcers aren't caused by that. It's caused by a bacteria. Well, he was right. It's not caused by stress. It's caused by bacteria. But wait a minute. Something else comes around the corner. We now know that ulcers are caused by bacteria, but they're exacerbated by stress. Therefore, if your body resistance goes down, you are likely to kick up the bacteria that creates ulcers. The point behind this short speech is we've got to be willing to let in the science to be able to understand the problem. Recently, I sat before the legislative body, and I said, you've got to start making your decisions based on science, not on opinion. They shut me down.
They shut you down?
Did not want to hear about it. Absolutely. Turned the mic off immediately. They did not want to hear it.
Wait a minute. This was where? Where was this?
This was in Nevada? Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
They did not want to hear it. They shut it down completely. In spite of the fact that this is 2015, we are in the age of enlightenment, the age of science, the age of nanotechnology, the age of quantum physics. And yet I say to them, we have to use the science to make the decisions on how to handle this, not the opinion. They don't want to have anything to do with it. I am embarrassed for them.
That is outrageous. That is absolutely outrageous. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me, because I have not met too many legislators that are worth a dime.
Well, I'll take it a step further with you, Sue. How many legislators have you met that are also academics and scientists? I'm not saying they're stupid. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying how many people go into the government who are physicists, who are biochemists, who are doctors in research fields of brain chemistry and now are part of the government? And the answer is absolutely none.
They're too busy. They've got a good career. They're doing something worthwhile. It's the ones that, for the most part, I mean, there's some good legislators. I'm not going to say they're all really, really bad. And there's some good ones on both sides of the aisle, and there's some really horrendous ones on both sides of the aisle. So, you know, it's not a partisan issue. For the most part, they just it's too complicated for them. They don't want to understand it. But I think maybe our form of government needs to be overhauled, because sometimes they'll get 3 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is to look at 10,000 pieces of legislation on topics that they know absolutely nothing about. And it's a case of, hey, Gary, if you vote for my bill, I'll vote for yours. I don't know what it says in there, but I'll vote for it if you support mine.
A convoluted system that causes itself to fail simply by the way it functions.
Yeah. And for the legislature in Nevada to shut you up and say they don't want to hear it is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous.
I leave these meetings, Sue, and I think, how many more people have to die? How many more families have to be displaced? I have said over and over and over again, who's tracking these families? Where are they going?
Yeah.
When they lose their homes, what's happening to the families? What's happening to the children?
Yeah.
Are they being displaced? Are they going to new schools? Did they lose all of their friends? Are they now living with other family members? Are they living on the street? And Sue, what do you think these kids are going to grow up to be?
Well, now you're speaking my language, because, as you know, I've always been concerned about what we're doing to the kids and how we're training them to be adults.
Yeah.
I remember when I started doing the show, my grandson was just a little guy, and if I had him on a Saturday, I would rebroadcast the show. So he would come in, and he just had so much fun. He was about five years old. He would sit there and he would say, I'd coach him in the car. I'd say, all right, now what you say is, please stay tuned for an encore presentation of On the Commons. And he would do that and he'd get all excited. And one day he sat there and he decided to wax eloquent about the whole thing. He says, now you people listen to me. You've got to listen to Sue Bartholomew, and you can't buy in an HOA because they're really bad for you. And he just went off on this. And I thought, I'm proud of you, kid.
I've
taught you something. So right at a very early age, I taught him to speak up, and I taught him to think for himself and not to accept that. But,
well, let's go with that thought just a little bit more, Sue. I suggest to you that if we hear the child say this, the child is learning from his parents.
Yes.
I never want to live in an HOA.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to do this. What a poor investment the United States is making, creating a generation of people who are going to say, I'm not moving in there. I'm not doing that. And we created them.
We are doing that already, Gary. We're already doing that. Kids, young people say, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Yep.
I was always afraid that, you know, we sort of brainwash them and they'd know no other way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd accept it. But maybe not. So you're writing a new book. I want to hear about that.
Well, this book focuses on now another area of this, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and this is the problem of child abuse in homeowners associations. Now, the listener says, well, wait a minute. How is child abuse different in a homeowners association than in a non-association? And here's what makes it different.
Mm-hmm.
People who live in homeowners associations are under enormous amounts of stress. Varying stress depending on who they are, their connection with the board, and all of that stuff. But we'll use the concept of stress. One of the things that come about as a result of stress is tension in the home. There's stress in the home. There's financial problems in the home. There's healthcare problems in the home, and on and on and on. How did all those things happen? They happened as a result of the homeowners association. Now the parent, the adults in the home, have a wide variety of stress-related issues and problems, from financial to physical to psychological. The children, by proxy, are picking up all of those effects. They're listening to the arguing. They're watching the crying. They're not having conversations at the dinner table about what went on that day at school, but rather what the HOA did that day. The interaction within the family has become jilted and tainted. And now these kids begin to suffer child abuse by proxy. It's not that the parent intentionally wanted to abuse the child. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that as a result of the stress that they're under, the parent is passing the abuse on to the child.
I want to take that just a little, expand on that just a bit, because HOAs do target children all
yes.
the time. They
yes.
don't want them playing on open spaces. They don't. You know, there were stories about young girls or young kids who decided they wanted to help a neighbor who was having problems, so they set up a lemonade stand. The HOA went after them. Kids with cancer who have playhouses, tents, anything in the backyard. Oh, you can't, you're devaluing property. It's inhumane. It's absolutely inhumane. I remember a story about a little girl who was so worried about a family of ducks, baby ducks, that crossed the street and got away from the pond and would sort of cross the street and get away from the water and go back and forth. And she was absolutely terrified that they'd get run over. So she mm-hmm. made this adorable little sign that she stuck in the, you know, in on the side of the road that says, careful, duck crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the HOA went after them.
Yeah.
Parents whose little kids, 3-4-year-olds with sidewalk chalk, oh, you know, you can't, they're banned. I mean, you just can't do that. You're mm-hmm. devaluing property. What on earth are we doing, Gary?
Well, yes, and we'll use your example, and I'll run with it a little bit further. These people doing this to these other people who have children. Now, this child grows up and is now an adult, and he or she meets someone who says, oh, by the way, my mom and dad used to be property managers, and now that person's in trouble. In the same way that someone might say, well, my grandfather was a Nazi, or I'm a believer in Al-Qaeda, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What matters is that these young people who are growing up in the homes of the perpetrators are soon going to become adults who, in turn, are going to get it. I'll ask you a question, Sue. Do you have a whole lot of people come to you outside who don't know who you are and say, oh, by the way, I work for a property management company, or that's what my dad did, or that's what mom does.
People who know who I am will will give me the card and say, I'm not like the others. You know, I'm a good property manager, I think, hoping for business. But no, people don't normally brag about it any more than anybody would brag about having a Nazi in the family.
Yes.
You know, you just, those are not the type of people that that you want to be proud to be associated with.
And they're not proud of it either, and that's why they don't admit who they are. I don't know anybody that works for the Internal Revenue Service, yet I know they work there.
Oh, I know.
Where are all these people?
I do, and when they say I work for the IRS, there's this sheepish grin on their faces, but I don't go after people. No, I know.
Yes.
No, yes. I know. But, of course, I, you know, where I live, there are a lot of government employees.
Mm-hmm. But how foolish these adults are who are raising their own families to try and better their whole family off the back of the innocent homeowner, to think that those children are going to grow up and be safe in the face of the children that they made sure got evicted from their home. How foolish, how stupid.
You know, you've mentioned this so many times on the show, Gary. I wonder how many people actually think about this. I think you're about the only person who has made a point of bringing this up. And it's such a valid point. We don't think about it.
You know, I thank you for saying that. I've struggled to get this point out. No one wants to talk about it. We have years, decades of longitudinal research about what happens to these children. It's not made up stuff. This is science. We know exactly what they're going to do. But for some reason, we don't want to look at this problem in the face. We look at the ghetto, the socioeconomic group that can't afford to pay their rent, and they're in some part of town, and we say, that's them. That's their problem. But those people leave those neighborhoods, and they're pissed. They're upset. They're angry. And in greater numbers, in larger numbers, they're going to come after people whom they blame for putting them here, putting them there. And that's me, because I didn't do anything about it. I let it happen. I drive my big car. I live in my big house. I don't look like I'm doing anything to solve this. So I get put into that large pot called, you're one of them, and we're going to get you.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do to solve that problem? Well, we don't walk around that neighborhood, do we? We don't stroll around those kind of people. And we've got police to make sure that they stay out of our neighborhood. But in time, it won't be enough, because we're now sending more, hundreds, thousands of people into these neighborhoods, because we've broken them by stealing their homes and their equity. Where else will they go?
We just keep doing it, don't we?
We do. Here's a little bit of irony for you that we've not talked about.
Okay.
If we look at homeowners across the country, homeowners associations, this is ironically a primarily white community of homeowners. That is to say, minorities are not represented at all equally in homeowners associations. The interesting byproduct that comes from that, the irony to it is that minorities are not a group of people being abused by homeowners associations. And if you think about it, that's really quite an extraordinary bit of irony. That is, again, I'll say, the minority is not a dominant or represented owner in a homeowners association. Therefore, minorities previously abused in other areas, whether it be slavery, whether it be prejudice because someone is Hispanic or, they're not being abused by homeowners associations because they don't live in them.
I think it depends on the part of the country.
Sure.
I've heard from minorities who are being abused, and they do come to me for help. But they tend to be, you're right, they tend to be in the minority. They're not the majority of people. And I don't know if it's because they're too smart to buy into them or what the deal is. But
well, let's go back, Shu, and remember that the origin on much of this, all the way back to Levittown, is no Jews and blacks allowed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but that leaves an ugly taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? The federal government came along and said, hey, that is unconstitutional and you can't do that. And so they stopped it. So any governing documents with those covenants still in there are totally invalid. I mean, they're there, mm-hmm. but you can't enforce them. And I think by the same token, the federal government can come by and say, hey, you know, that's unconstitutional or that will not be tolerated and you've got to stop it.
Yes.
You've got to stop doing that. And, you know, we've had people from different perspectives for years. I mean, associations have been around for, what, almost 50 years now? And we've had people analyze them and write about them and discuss them and find all sorts of things. You're the only one. You're the only one who has talked about the science.
Yes.
You're a minority of one, and I think that is probably a key to understanding how everything else interacts.
Well, I believe that is true, and the reason that other people aren't studying it is that there's no money in it. I do what I do independently. I'm a retired college professor. I'm a writer. I'm a researcher. This is, in fact, my world, my life, but I don't earn a living off of it. But other people out to earn a living, they're not taking this approach because there's no money in it. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are grants available for homeowners associations, but not for individuals studying homeowners associations.
I was not aware of that.
Yep.
So there's grants for HOAs, but not for individuals.
That's right.
So you and I can't apply for one.
Well, I can tell you that in the coming year, it is my goal to try and narrow down a grant study that will allow me to look at the health concerns and interests of people living in homeowners association. This will be a first, to my knowledge, that this has ever been done. It will take years, but I've got to start somewhere.
I'm really excited about the child abuse by proxy and the studies that you're doing there, because I think that's along with the science, and that's part of the science, actually. But that's bringing the focus down to a whole different level. And I think it's, you know, for those of us who are parents and those of us who have children in the family, and maybe even those of us who were children at one point, that's a super important area.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I mean, let us take just for a moment, sidestep for a moment, and look at the example that makes the news. Husband and wife beat their child to death during an angry rage.
Yes.
That's what we hear.
Yes.
But if you hear the backstory that husband and wife were under stress living in a homeowners association, would you buy it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're going to buy it. You know, I think you're going to have a tough time buying it because there's not enough information about it. Let's blame it on the association that they killed their kid. Now, we're not going that far.
But it's true. It can be true.
But it's true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we've both had people call us and tell us that they're absolutely terrified. They won't answer the door. They won't answer the phone. They won't talk to anyone. They won't go out of the house. You know, that's not a normal way to live. They won't pick up the mail.
Yes, and I as a therapist, now that I am, I've opened my practice again, this is the same story that I hear. And I'll be seeing patients today who will come in and tell me I live in my home. I'm barred in my own house. I live in a jail, and that's how they live their lives.
Are you?
My goal is try.
Go on. I'm sorry.
My goal is to try and get those chains, those bars off the door.
So is your practice focused on people who are having problems in HOAs, or are
solely?
Solely.
Those are the only cases I've seen now. Oftentimes it gets overwhelming. It is my hope that I'll be able to encourage other therapists to begin to look at these areas so that people have some place to go. I can also tell you that it is my hope to ultimately get something, and I don't know what to call it yet, except for HOA comp insurance. You have workman's comp insurance, something that happens on the job. Well, what about insurance for living in homeowners association? Why don't we call it HOA comp insurance so that you can go to your clinic and file a claim for complications due to living in a homeowners association, and it'll be paid for?
Who would issue such an insurance? Would this be government subsidized, federally subsidized?
I would be remiss if I told you at this point that I knew. I'm so early on in the thought process for me that learning how that process is done is going to take me time. And because I'm doing all of this alone, it takes me that much longer.
So,
but eventually, other people will come on board.
So, okay, workman's comp, that's an insurance that your boss or your company pays into. So I'm not sure how that works either, but that's a really, really interesting concept.
If you think about it, it makes a lot of intuitive sense that there be a kind of separate insurance that homeowners are allowed to tap into. Currently they have nothing. Homeowners can't tap into a legal fund if they've got a legal problem. They can't tap into any resource whatsoever with respect to their health, their welfare, and their finances. But if there was an insurance base that said, having problems with your HOA, file an HOA comp complaint and file. Now we're moving forward in progress. And people say, well, this is ridiculous. We didn't need this before. Well, we didn't have this problem before. This is new. This has been brought about, whether we're talking about AIDS or whether we're talking about SARS or no matter what it is. These are new conditions, and we must recognize them as they come about.
How about holding HOA attorneys and management companies accountable for what they do? Because quite often, the association doesn't have the authority to do some of the stuff they're doing. Attorneys will sort of enable management companies and managers to do whatever they want, and will cover for them.
Yes, and I don't know how close we are to being able to come in and resolve that problem unless the federal government steps in and makes a sweeping move to put this to a halt. If in an ideal world, what I would like to see is the President of the United States do a sweeping statement, 3-year moratorium on all fines and foreclosures in homeowners associations. During that window of time, during that 3-year period of time, homeowners associations to be turned over to local, state, municipalities for their management, for their account, and their oversight.
Finally get something for our tax dollars, eh, Gary?
Exactly. Give me something for my money rather than putting it solely into the pocket of the management company, collection company, and attorney. And they yell and scream, but what about our jobs? Well, maybe you'll actually have to go out and find a real job now.
Get some real work. Gary, thank you so very much. I love having you on. I always learn, and you always get me to thinking about different things. So I appreciate it.
I'm glad.
And for the rest of you, please check out his website, HOA Crisis in America.
Crisis in America. Mm-hmm.
Check it out. You will love it. Thank you again, Gary.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.